Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Charlotte Collins, Maya Lucky, and Laura Black. Let's start with TV. What's anyone been watching? Has anyone watched Narcos Series 3?
Well, not the entire thing, but have started.
Ty is nodding, our videographer. And how quickly have you watched it?
Everything in one day.
Oh, a lot in one day.
When did it drop? Friday?
No, it was last week, wasn't it? Like midweek.
A few people I know have sent me messages knowing how mad I am about Narcos. Saying it's on, I'm watching, and I'm not watching yet.
And you've not started.
I've got to start. Is it really good, Ty? Even without Pablo.
That's the thing, isn't it? He's gone.
What? Hang on. That's a massive spoiler. Sorry. That's a big spoiler.
It's not a big spoiler.
If you've watched one and two,
I've watched episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah, but Pablo Escobar.
No, I know he's dead.
It's a real story. Without him.
Yeah, but it does. That's the whole point. This is America. Of course,
he's
it carries
dead.
On.
Yeah, that's so true.
Anyway, the Cali cartel are his rivals who are gaining in influence.
Yeah, they swoop in and take over. Market,
so the series 3 is about the Cali cartel,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Can't wait. Anything else?
It starts pretty gruesome, that's all I can say.
Well, can I tell you what I started watching this morning, and I might be a bit out of date, is the Whitney Houston
So I watched that
film.
This weekend, actually.
It's good,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
It's quite depressing.
So sad. I mean, she was such a troubled woman. Like,
oh my God,
her life was ruined. She doesn't sound like she was happy for hardly any of her life.
Well, he's baddie, isn't he?
He was a horrible influence on her. He kept her in it. And the thing that bothered me the most was all these people around her, and it's the same with Amy Winehouse, I suppose, it didn't seem like anyone tried to help her. Like, hardly anyone. That's what the documentary makes out. She even had, like, a drug counsellor, and she was like, you know, Whitney didn't want to be in rehab. She wanted to be with her daughter and her husband. But I'm sure everyone...
Well, her daughter's dead now.
I'm sure everyone says that's got a drug addiction.
Yeah.
And she just freeloaded off her, going on holiday, counselling on the girl.
It's like Michael Jackson as well.
Yeah,
none of these people helped.
No.
Yeah, that's really sad.
It's a really good film. It's on BBC iPlayer. Okay, I really recommend it.
I watched Bake Off.
I just can't get my head around these judges. Tell me.
Oh no, they're
good. I think it works. Yeah.
It actually really
but
works.
It's still Bake Off.
Who's
it's
the guy with the long
name?
Noel Fielding from Mighty Boosh. And Sandy Toksvig.
Yeah.
And they are so similar.
Yeah, if you close your eyes,
yeah, they sound the same.
It could be the old judges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sandy and whatever that dude is. No.
No, I promise you, you won't know.
He doesn't say that much, does he, really? Not yet.
No. I think he'll come into his own a bit more. And it's quite scripted at the moment.
He shouldn't be presenting.
No,
the
I think give him a chance. I think watch it.
It definitely is an odd selection.
It's so random, but it works.
Yeah. It's good. And there's some good characters.
Yeah, really good. Some amazing bakers so far as well, I think. Some people are really standing out.
And some terrible ones.
I don't think anyone was that bad.
Oh my God, my person, the sweepstake, is horrendous.
Have you all done a sweepstake?
Yeah, we've got a sweepstake going.
Oh, I want to see who everyone's got.
Yeah, well, Tora Poppy are out already.
Yeah,
they didn't
last very long. Have they
baked? Right, well, Poppy's got one day to bring her cake.
Okay.
So yeah, the Sherlock's sweepstake, if anyone's listening. Once you're out, you bring in a cake.
Yeah. But there's a lot of rules this year. You have to bake it.
To
there
bake
was a lot
it.
Of Sainsbury's cookies bought last year. So
and it gets a bit
vetoed.
Sickening.
Yeah, we just got fat. So
love it.
No, only baking.
And well, I have also been listening to a series of podcasts by Monocle24, it's called. And they interview some quite interesting people. The founder of, is it WeWork, the workspaces. Mm. The founder of Botanic Lab. She's called Rebecca Hall. She's spoken at some of our events. She is so smart. She's from an accountancy background. She worked in M&A and she started Botanic Lab. It's really interesting because she just wanted to be an entrepreneur and she was very motivated by making money. That's why she started the business, not because she was massively into the sort of health and wellness world.
That's so interesting because they always tell you that shouldn't be your motivation, don't they?
It's the same as Bette Clark from Ashley Clark, the jewellery brand. So she also, she was a management consultant, wanted to set up a business, and she went to work for a VC who actually invested in Sherlock's and said, I want to start a business. And said, come and work for us for 6 months and work out what you want to do, and then we'll back you. And that's that's when she started asking go off. And she wasn't, you know, passionate about jewellery. Yeah. I think she'd probably say she is now, but she wasn't. But anyway, the one that I found really interesting was with the guy that founded, as well as Rebecca Hall, was with the guy that founded Bull. His career was, he was a failed sportsman, went to LA, didn't make it as a footballer, but saw this kind of health thing was happening, came back to London, saw what Innocent was doing, basically sort of canvassed them to go and work for them. They gave him a job. He became, what did he become? Board level, basically. Innocent was sold to Coca-Cola. He didn't go with them. Coca-Cola decided that Innocent was going to be a drinks brand only, because it's all about volume and scale and global. So he took, they agreed he could take the sort of food business away, and he rebranded it as Bowl. And their biggest sellers were meat, fish recipes. And it's really interesting, he talks about the growing population in the world and the fact that the meat and fish supplies just, they can't keep up with the growth of the population.
Yeah.
And he felt really compelled to do something in his own way about it. So they took the meat and fish recipes out. So he had to go to Waitrose and say, you know those pots that sell really well that are some of the biggest sellers? Yeah. We're actually not doing those anymore. And he said they'd been amazing and really supportive. And
so they're just veggie?
So now they're just veggie. Yeah, and it's all about plant-based foods. And, and there's a massive trend in people eating less meat. Except to my husband, he still has to eat meat every day, but... But anyway, it's just really interesting. I thought it was a really good podcast. Other podcasts I've been listening to are, this is on my drive to the Dordogne, with a lot of hours in the car and children plugged into iPads, was a series called 50 Things That Made the Modern Economy. And they're 11-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. And they talk about things like plastic or the elevator as American or birth control, how the pill changed the modern world. Petrol, they're saying that there was a version of petrol that people used to come into contact with and it would literally make them crazy.
Fumes.
Yeah, people who worked in the factories it was, but it was just so horrendously bad for you that, you know, you would...
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. So interesting. I love the idea that you can listen to something for 11 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
That's right on.
Did you listen to all 50 then?
We couldn't. We were frantically getting onto the Channel Tunnel, downloading them on the phone, and we didn't get them all. But we then stopped and we were driving a convoy with friends, and every time we got like, we just listened to this. Did you know?
Guess
what? Quite a good conversation points. But on the topic of things that made the modern economy, Tor wrote a piece on the morning after pill and whether you've suffered a condom mishap, as she put it, or missed your pill, or just not bothered. Having a backup plan is key when it comes to preventing unplanned pregnancy. But how exactly does it work, and can it do you any damage? The latter point was one I was really interested in.
The damage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can it affect your fertility? Mm-hmm. And the answer is... no. It works by preventing the sperm and the egg from meeting. And I was interested to see that it's only 60 to 80% effective.
That is interesting.
And horrifying.
Yeah. 19-year-old me would really be shocked at that.
Yeah, and scared.
Yeah, I know. I know, I think I was 19.
So I was 19 as well. I know
you remember. Maybe it's a rite of passage. And actually, a friend of mine took it the other day. Anyway, I won't name you if you're listening. But she took it the other day and I was with her and she had to go to the chemist and we walked in there and there were... And she'd had the condom mishap that's on here. And there were four women behind the counter and the store manager standing really near, and she went out and I was like, oh, poor thing. So I went out and I was like, she's married with two children, by the way.
It's such a shame how humiliating it is.
It's so good.
Like, you could just be a normal person in a normal relationship.
No, she was saying, oh, I've got to take morning after, and I was like, oh god, poor you, and you're going to feel so rough. And she said I've taken it once before and I didn't feel that
bad. I didn't feel bad.
And I was like, I remember feeling horrendous. She was like, oh, did you just quite like the fact that you
quite dramatic.
I remember sort of going to bed all day. I was a friend
It does say that you can suffer from nausea and a whole load of other
headaches
things,
and nausea. Yeah. I think I did. But interestingly, Boots were facing a lot of backlash, weren't they,
about lowering
the cost of the pill,
because loads of other brands have lowered the cost, but Boots refused to.
They have now. Quite right too.
Yeah, it's like the tax on tampons, I suppose this is less of a necessity, but you should have the right to access this, and girls who don't have the kind of sex education should have the right to take to preventative measures.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. We should be doing anything to prevent single mothers, teenage pregnancies, which, you know.
Their point was that people would use it as a resource rather than like a last minute solution.
But if you go to the doctor anyway, don't you? You get it for free.
Yes.
Do you?
Prescription free from your NHS GP.
Yeah, but people get a doctor's appointment. that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I would go to Boots when I
was young. On topic of wanted pregnancies, we also wrote a piece on food and pregnancy. And from alcohol to sushi, the rules surrounding what to eat when you're pregnant aren't always that straightforward. Plus, with a third of expectant mums believing that eating for two is an acceptable rule, which it is not, we thought it was time that we wrote a piece. And given that Kate Middleton's just announced, I think I'm going to call her Kate Middleton until her dying day.
I'm so happy about that.
I'm really pleased about that, because the royals just tend to have two, don't they? So I think it's really nice.
Yeah,
and they're a really happy family.
They are so cute.
And, you know, word on the street is that she just loves being a mum.
I mean, they all are happening very quickly, I feel like.
But why not get on with it?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's Laura. So Laura, looking at us very pregnant, who's going to have three under...
Three and a half.
Yikes. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Get it over with.
In 10 years' time.
But Laura, tell me about food and pregnancy. What's your approach been?
I mean, I'm quite relaxed, rightly or wrongly. I don't know. I mean, eating for two. I get full really easily, so I don't really understand the whole eating for two thing. I would rather eat small and often, but I've had that with all of them. I'm pretty relaxed. I don't eat blue cheese, but I don't really eat blue cheese anyway.
What's the reason for blue cheese?
Bacteria. And eggs I'm a bit funny about, but what I did think was quite interesting, because I didn't know this until last time, is that in the article it says that one of the worst things is like ready prepared salad for listeria. And a friend who is a midwife told me that. She said you can be pretty relaxed about everything, but like washed bagged salad is a big hub for bacteria, which I didn't know, and I eat quite a lot of it. So
a lot of people do.
It's really interesting. The other thing, well, I'm with you, Laura, I don't like blue cheese. And soft cheese. For some reason, soft cheese and pâté are things.
Yeah, pâté, again, I don't really eat it. So
I like a bit of pâté.
These are all my food groups.
Yeah,
I would eat blue cheese and sushi every
sushi. But you can go veg sushi, so you can see.
Yeah, we need to get the kind of fix, yeah.
And if it's fresh. So tuna fish and swordfish, I didn't eat either too much, because they can contain high levels of mercury, which is a toxic heavy metal. So they say, for example, you shouldn't eat more than two small cans of tuna a week. So I think swordfish was the fish. But ultimately, most of it is just to avoid food poisoning, because that's a really nasty thing to get. So as long as you're kind of clear about the sort of, I mean, I wouldn't have gone to a dodgy curry house and had prawns, but yeah, I probably wouldn't do that again. But I think you just need a bit of common sense. I think people love, in their first pregnancy, they love to get a bit excited about
whereas this time around I was like, just remind me what I can and can't.
I remember going to a friend's for supper when I was pregnant with my first, and we hadn't told them, and she put a chocolate mousse in front of me, and I started eating it, and Josie went, she can't eat a chocolate mousse, and she was like, oh, well, you're pregnant then. Anyway, he's chilled out quite a lot.
Can I tell you my favourite thing in this feature was that ice and coal are common cravings.
Coal? I mean, what?
I was about to say that.
Ice,
yeah.
I have heard of.
Really?
Why?
Lot of people like ice lollies, don't they? Because it's like...
Fresh things you crave.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say I craved anything, but watermelon was the one thing that I did drive to go and get.
Okay.
On both of them.
And carbs, I mean, especially when you feel sick in the early stages. Yeah.
I remember hearing about a pregnant lady who craved French bread with cream eggs in the middle, and I spent the rest of my life looking forward to being pregnant so I could have that conversation.
Well, knock yourself out. But just remember
that you only need an extra 500 calories.
And that's only in the third trimester. In the first trimester, which is probably when most women get most excited, you don't actually need any additional calories.
But 500, I was surprised at. I actually think that.
That's more. I was told you only need in your third trimester
it's like
an
banana.
Extra 200 calories.
Yeah, I thought it was like a banana.
That's depressing.
Yeah. We did have one person. She used to have about four breakfasts by about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that would be me.
And I was thinking, and it's bad for the baby. You know, that can lead to gestational diabetes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I did
and
sit
also,
though snacking on pretzels from about 9:30 in the early days. So I was like, this is just so obvious.
Yeah, so you said that. You were like, why has nobody guessed from the pretzel?
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Why? On salt pretzels, they were just the only way that I could get through the day for about 3 weeks.
Oh. We did it.
We did it, exactly. Well, I think you just need, And also, I think it's so important that you don't. Someone said to me the other day they'd put on 3 stone in their pregnancy. You know, that's a lot to lose on the other side. And when you're tired and feeling a bit shit about yourself, to not be able to get back in your clothes
for months and months,
it's quite depressing. Mm. I'm sure I'll get in trouble for saying that, but I do actually really believe that you know, you're at a low point when you're not sleeping and when nothing fits.
And also your body is so doing things that it's never done before, so you do feel a bit gross and a bit like, not it's amazing, but it equally is a bit you know, for you, you're like, oh, what's happening to me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's just another thing to worry about. Yeah. I did not embrace the body changes. I have to say, I'm quite happy not to be pregnant ever again. On the subject of reading, what if we told you that the way to earn more is to read more? Because according to the members of the Billionaire Book Club, it is. And from entrepreneurs to media moguls, some of the world's highest achievers put their success down to a voracious appetite for books. Bill Gates reads 50 books a year.
Oh my God.
And Mark Zuckerberg commits to reading a book every 2 weeks. And Warren Buffett reportedly spends 80% of his day reading.
80% of his day reading.
I think it says he did. I'm not going to say he does anymore.
Yeah, I think
that's busy now.
Spends, no.
Does he spend?
Sorry.
My husband told me at the weekend that the average American spends 5.5 hours of their day on digital social media. Which I was staggered to hear.
Yes, quite a frightening number, isn't
it? Not that we're Americans, but I'm sure we're not far off it. I really agree with the notion that the more you read, the brighter you are, the more successful you are.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. Interesting that Bill Gates reads non-fiction.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Exclusively non-fiction.
I think that's weird. I've always thought that to be somebody who is, inverted commas, well read, that you should be sticking to fiction, and to be a kind of interesting person, you should have a really kind of good knowledge of fiction
as well.
No, primarily.
Okay.
But maybe that's not the case at all, and maybe it's for a different use. Maybe he's using it as kind of tools with which to run a business.
Yeah.
I'm just talking kind of conversationally.
Yes.
I just feel like having a kind of cannon up your sleeve is kind of a way of being interesting and interested.
I suppose non-fiction is a way of like gaining more life experience through not your own life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it? It's learning more about the world and whatever, broadening your intelligence
without
actually having to experience it yourself.
Do you guys read much non-fiction?
No, I
don't. I used to read exclusively non-fiction
really?
For years and years.
What kind
years
of things? Like biographies?
I love a biography. Mm. And history, I don't like reading. I don't like fictional history. So something like Wild Swans, that was one of the first books I read when I was in my teens, and I read one of the big Mao tomes. I was fascinated by communist China and what went on. Anyway, Wild Swans just had such an impact on me at quite a young age. And look, I remember reading Branson's autobiography when it came out years ago and being so inspired by it.
That must be the entrepreneur in you.
Maybe. Anyway, I do read more fiction now than I used to, just because I feel like I really need to zone out a bit. And when I read non-fiction, I just get ideas, my mind races. But I think that's why podcasts are so amazing, because you're doing the same thing. It's just so fascinating to learn about new things and hear other people's stories and advice. And but anyway, this piece that we did about reading more and earning more was actually linked to Blinkist, which is a brilliant app that summarises non-fiction reads into 15 minutes. And someone made the point to me that most sort of self-improvement, and not that all non-fiction needs to be self-improvement, I actually don't really like self-improvement books, but most self-improvement books can be summarised into 12 points.
Yes.
And they are just drawn out. And ever since, I think someone told me this, I've never not been able to read one. And I have got one. And I found it quite boring having taken on this fact. So the idea that you can condense them into a 15-minute read is brilliant.
Love that idea.
And that's what Blinkist does. And my friend who works for Google told me about Blinkist. And she said, it's brilliant. By the time I get to work every day, I've nailed 3 books.
Yeah.
That's
how good is that?
That's what I need in my life.
So there you go, Blinkist.com. On the subject of earning more money, does hard work guarantee success? I'd say yes. But in a society where presenteeism is often required, presenteeism doesn't always lead to rewards, and it's not good for your health.
So presenteeism is just being in the office a lot.
So presenteeism is, being seen at work. Okay. And a brilliant example of this is at my first job at Coty, and I interned for them all through university. And there was this girl, and she was there, she was there from about 7:30 in the morning until... And bearing in mind that nobody started work in this business before 9 o'clock. She'd get there at 7:30, and she'd be there until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And she was completely ineffective.
I was going to say,
she was never promoted. Mm-hmm. She never moved on. She was a bit of a safe pair of hands at the level that she was at.
Mm-hmm.
I then went back as a grad and was promoted above her. And she looked a bit of a state. And I always remember this as well. And my MD, who was there, who I got on really well with, who's an awesome lady. And she said to her once, she was like, Kate. She took her aside and was like, come in half an hour later in the morning, put on some makeup and brush your hair.
Oh, gosh.
And actually, I always remember that. Like,
that's more valuable.
That, well, this is going down a whole nother
way,
but like, does your appearance help in your career? I think it does.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, for her, she was about as present as the furniture. And she was not successful.
So what was she doing all day long?
And she actually left and married someone who worked for a school, and she went to be a schoolmistress.
Oh
gosh, probably much better suited to her.
Yeah.
But I don't know, what do you think? Do you feel like you have to put in?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I once read something that really resonated with me, and I can't remember who it was. It was somebody from Vogue or something in America, and they had said that they very quickly learned in their career that they weren't necessarily the brightest person, and they weren't necessarily the, you know, whatever, best at their job, but what they could do was work harder than everybody else. And that's really stuck with me, and I've always kind of tried to emulate that a little bit myself, only because if you're in a competitive environment, or if you feel that kind of you're not necessarily, you know, you can do, if that's something you can really do to make yourself stand out, then I don't see why not. It doesn't mean coming in at 7:30 and leaving at 10, especially not if it's not going to work. But I think there's something to be said for kind of showing that you're really putting in your hours.
I think there is, but then you obviously have to ask yourself, are you just coming in because you want to be seen to be in the
office? I don't mean it like that,
Also,
I think times are changing. So I've got a friend who they don't even have an office. He works for a big firm, and they don't even have an office.
So many of my friends work from home, like a couple times a week. Yeah,
it is quite common.
I think if you're good, it doesn't matter. And actually, going back to my MD, she used to leave at 5 o'clock every day on the dot. And you know, I won't say her name or who she works for now, but she's a mega successful lady, and that was her thing.
And
she was like, I have to get my job done within those hours. And she always said she didn't have children. She never had children.
But I was just worried that I wasn't doing enough. I don't know, I would always just, if I was leaving on the dot every single day, I would feel, you know, in whatever job, I would feel like there was always more I could be doing.
How my husband feels. Yeah. He says in the evenings, he feels like that's moment where he can push himself to do more and
to kind of stand out.
Or it's whatever, but you know, for him, that's the time of the day where he doesn't have to do it.
You can excel.
He doesn't feel he has to do it to be seen, but it's a time where he feels he can invest in his career.
And if people talk about going over and above, right, well, if you've got X amount to do in the day, then your chance to go over and above.
I agree with that.
Anyway, I think presenteeism, not for the sake of presenteeism, perhaps. Noted, Charlotte, we've got reviews coming up.
She just sits around doing nothing.
I'm on the Daily Mail, actually,
What about personality traits to make you more attractive? Because beauty may be in the eye of the beholder, but attraction comes down to more than just good looks. I've got a 6-year-old who I spend my life at the moment telling to be kind. Be kind, be kind, Coco, be kind. Good things happen to good people. And I said the other day, I was like, it's really unattractive not to be kind. And I was like, oh, is that the wrong word to have used? Anyway, I think kindness is pretty key. My mum said to me when I was 19 and I met my husband, and I remember she said to me, she's like, darling, I know you won't appreciate this now. She was like, but you've got a really kind man there. And she was like, kind men make you happy. And just remember that.
So sweet.
And she was so right.
Yeah, very true.
I do agree with those two aspects. Like,
but I don't know if you're 19 where the kindness is attractive.
Yes. I was going to say,
at your age, I fancy the shits.
Wish we were 19.
Yeah.
I don't agree. You can appreciate, I think, that that's what you should be looking for.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I'd ever be actually attracted to kindness.
I know what you mean, but I think
it's an attractive quality to have.
In a relationship.
If you're doing a SWOT analysis, it should definitely be
But friends.
What about friends? So what do you think?
Definitely.
What do you think's attractive in a friend?
Yeah, kindness, I think, is one of the kind of priorities, actually, really.
Yeah, because you want to know that they're kind of, well, you still want them to be truthful and honest, but in a way that doesn't hurt feelings, obviously. Mm. I think kindness.
I think in men, intelligence, like...
Yeah, my biggest is confidence. I've always gone for confident boys. Yeah,
I'm not
really like a quiet guy at all.
I wouldn't say quite overconfident.
Yeah. I don't mean overconfident. Yeah.
Like, so I'm with you, a bit of confidence. It's funny that no one's brought up humour yet. Surely it was a everyone say. Everyone says that should come first, but basically in reality no one said humour.
Because it shouldn't actually come first. You can't actually prioritise that over like kindness and loyalty and other stuff, can
Why
you?
Why not? I think someone who wants to have fun is attractive.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm not sure I need like someone cracking jokes.
No, I don't need a comedian.
That would actually get quite annoying.
Really
tiring. So maybe humour's not the right word. Like some sort of connection that you both find makes both of you laugh. Yeah, that's definitely it. I find this one so funny. An agreeable nature.
I kind of know what that means though. Like some people,
I do not have an agreeable natured boyfriend.
Being agreeable. I know you don't want someone. I think what it's saying is someone who goes with the flow. Sometimes he's not always like picking battles. Not too argumentative. Yeah.
Or somebody's too difficult.
And I think someone affectionate. Like, I think it's really important. Yeah. A friend or a partner. I hate that word. Sorry. Anyway, that would be very PC. But yeah, I think affection. Like, I think from anyone, whether it's family, friends, partners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm probably not a great friend. I'm not very
affectionate. Being warm. I think somebody's too cool. I'm not attracted to people who are really cool.
Can I tell you my favourite thing in friends is when people remember things. It really annoys me if you tell a friend that you've got, like, an interview or an exam or someone's ill or something or you're ill and when those people then don't follow up, that's my I think that's a kindness thing, and I always try really hard to be that person because it really irritates me when people don't have that, because that's a kind of, that's not kind, I don't think. And it's a bit neglectful,
quite selfish.
So to me that's a really big question.
I've got a friend who is that person. I mean, if I say I've got a big meeting, she will remember.
I do too.
I'm not very good at remembering those things. I'm juggling.
No, but if
so
it was something,
things.
As you say, like not being well or something,
if it's huge life checking.
I put things in my calendar. I'll put in my calendar, blah blah, starts new job today or something like that.
I'm
my closest friend.
Actually, I've done that occasionally because I know I don't remember things just because I'm. Time.
And it's only because I'm really upset to me if people don't remember me.
I also think loyalty is, like, if you're talking about friendships, like, to me,
100%,
I think there are certain people I know that I can ring up at any time of the day or night and they would get in their car and drive.
I think loyalty is massive.
Stranded.
Yes.
I don't know, I think that's, like, the most important thing.
To know that you can rely on someone.
Yeah. And in a partner / boyfriend / husband too.
100%. Yeah.
Well, you said he could be funny, but there's no way of being funny if he's going to cheat on you.
This has been very true.
So, for our last, I want to talk about two brands.
Yes.
One is M&S, because I just feel M&S gets such stick, and obviously it all comes down to the financial press, and if their numbers are down, their numbers are down, I suppose. But from where I'm sitting, I think their fashion is pretty damn good at the moment. And we did a piece on 10 sort of designer look pieces that M&S had created. And they had over 10,000.
That's insane. I did not know that
story. Yeah. Yeah. Which is pretty big. We also, Charlotte, I'm calling it the Charlotte effect.
Love that.
But Charlotte, Charlotte modeled an M&S off-the-shoulder top, which I have sitting in a bag.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, I did. I'm one of the 174 people.
Stop it, what?
Tell, but that was the number of items by day two that had transacted.
Wow.
So that top was amazing. If you missed it, there might be some in stock, but it went out of stock the first time. We were going to feature it. We loved it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And then
the second it came back
it
in,
we did a little video, and it looked amazing on Charlotte. And anyway, everyone obviously agreed. But anyway, I think M&S, they've got some great tailoring as well. Yeah. Charlotte and I are both sitting here in a sort of check.
Yeah.
Grey blazer, double-breasted. Yours is? Yeah. It's the season of the double-breasted. My friend said to me, but I don't do double-breasted. I was like, you better try it because you don't want to get away from it.
Did yours come? Did you get your mango one?
Yeah.
Nice? No?
That's the one of fabrics kind of threw me a bit. It's still sitting there to decide.
What's the fabric like?
It's more the pattern of the fabric. I'm just not sure. I just don't know if I can find nicer.
Where's your strong?
And I've got this one winking at me.
That one is amazing.
Yeah, keep wearing it.
Yeah. This is the first time I've worn it.
Oh, well, I saw it on your Instagram. Wait, this is the Yin Bing.
This is the Yin Bing.
You just can't compare them.
It is good, isn't it?
I mean, obviously the price compares with
it is
very nice.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased with it. It's its first outing.
It's very nice.
I did it on for Instagram. Where's yours from? It's very nice.
This is the Topshop one. Oh, so we've talked a lot about the merits of Topshop Zara Mango.
Yeah, Miss Selfridge.
Miss Selfridge, yes.
Mm-hmm. Miss Selfridge, I've got a couple that are great at the moment. And M&S. And in summary, M&S is definitely the place to go right now.
It's grown up.
Check it out. It's doing some good fashion this season. And the other brand we were going to talk about is Claudie Pierlot. And initially I was like, who is this?
So they're owned by Sandro Marge kind of conglomerate, I believe. So it's all under one umbrella.
Are they?
Yeah, I'm going to check that, but I'm like 99% sure that it's all one kind of big umbrella brand. And I mean, look, it's not cheap. It's the kind of similar to those brands in their price brackets, but
we've got here a ballet top, which is beautiful, sort of gorgeous cutaway arm, which is the new thing this season. It's not about the exposed shoulder, it's exposed arm, so you cover your shoulder, and then the hole, if you like, the gap is sort of further down the sleeve anyway. But this is a ballet top, and it's $199, so it's not cheap.
I think what they do so well is cool classics. So everything on this page that I'm making here that we ran of kind of their new collection is cool. It's on trend now, but nothing's too cool that you wouldn't actually wear it again next season. I can't see anything here that I wouldn't wear last winter either. So therefore, I think it's a really, like, if you're going to invest, it's actually a really good kind of go-to brand to know.
I think what's really interesting is there are some really great independent brands emerging at the moment and over the last year or so that shows we love Zara, we love Mango, and it's hard to beat their price point and their speed to market, obviously, but there are some really nice brands out there that, I mean, this one is not hugely affordable, but there are some really nice brands if you don't want to be so identical as everyone else. Let's talk about gender neutral fashion.
So I wrote a piece on gender neutral fashion last week and about kind of how everybody's just borrowing everybody else's clothes now. And interestingly, this weekend John Lewis announced that they're no longer going to categorise their girls' and boys' clothes. Mm. So for children's wear, everything.
I'm slamming my pen on the desk.
Everything is like in brackets, unisex.
Yeah, the tags all say girls' boys' wear, don't they?
Yeah, all clothes are for everyone because they don't wish to kind of pigeonhole.
I mean,
child.
The world has gone berserk.
I see, I don't think this is that big a deal.
I think a unisex collection is very nice.
But what if your little boy wants to wear a tutu? But like, seriously, what do you do if your boy wants to wear a tutu? Tell him no, it's the girls section. I don't know. I think that in 2017,
there's that many little boys that want to wear tutus.
Well, I don't know, but there's a lot of conversation around it, isn't there? Yeah.
For those that do.
So when you're searching for your school uniform and you're not sure whether, the schools have girls' shirts and boys' shirts, they're now not going to be tagged. So, just to make your life really complicated. So if you want girls' pants that don't have a hole for a willy, you're going to get pants for children showing boys' pants and girls' pants together. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm so cross about it. And I can get as many negative comments and backlash as anyone likes, but I think it's just over the top, this gender-neutral debate. I mean, you can't have ladies and gentlemen on the tube now because you're going to offend a transgender. Yeah. Children growing up not knowing whether a boy... I mean,
I really agree with you.
It's really sad. I feel for my children, it's really sad.
Does it confuse them more?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably the big question.
I know where you're asking.
I think it's seriously depressing. I think it's really
I completely agree in terms of political correctness stuff. I do agree. I think that people take too much offence at things like ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, and look, I don't have children, but it does seem to me, from kind of everything that we're seeing in the media, that there are a load of kids with, like, massive identity crises out there. There are so many reports of, like, transgender suicides and all these kids who really struggle with it. And actually, is it such a big deal if it doesn't have a label? If you are a girl.
Not putting a label on clothing is gonna solve the issue.
It's a slippery slope. Before we know it, you're not gonna have boys here, girls here. I'm all for mixing boys and girls. I want my children to go to co-ed school. But before we know it, you're not going to be able to describe a child as a girl or a boy.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Is this a female body we're looking at here or a male? We can't say. Female bodies need to be treated in a certain way, male bodies need to be treated in another way. And medication, it's... I think it's thoroughly depressing. I really do. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. Let's talk about style rules. It's okay to break. Men wearing skirts.
It just kind of came up as because there are so many things that, your grandma or your mum, might have said, you can't do this and you can't do that.
I grew up thinking that the most important, in fact, the only sort of style rule I remember as a child was that
you didn't wear pink and red or navy and black.
And now it's all out the window. So basically, you know, there's actually, and it's actually really nice because there's
I love both of those combinations pink when they're done right.
There's so much room for interpretation these days. As well. Like, you know, we talked about socks and sandals, and we talked about fishnets and exposed underwear. And I mean, it sounds like I'm describing, you know, Julia Roberts.
I've got to say, socks and sandals, I still can't buy into socks and sandals.
I mean, I may well eat my hat, but then that black and navy has to be done right. Like, I don't agree with a black jacket and navy trousers because that's all you could find. Yeah. That looks like a suit that's gone wrong or one's faded. Like, you know, a lovely navy knit
with some
black trousers or leather or something is really nice. Like, it doesn't excuse
bad taste. Yes, and fishnets doesn't mean, like, you know, put on a garter and fishnets and get out the night. But yeah, I mean, basically you can kind of wear whatever you like these days. We also talked about mixing high and low, which I like. You know, there was such a kind of, when I think about like a Carrie Bradshaw or somebody, there was such a kind of trend for buying a top to toe designer look. I think that kind of went out the window when Daniella Pottrick wore, you know, head to toe Burberry, didn't it? But so, you know, I think
Topshop is really to thank. I mean, they were the brand, weren't they? That suddenly all these celebrities were going mad for.
And people, you know, people like Olivia Palermo who've come out and said, like, oh, I go to H&M or I go here or whatever. Yeah. And that's another thing I think that's great because those of us who can't afford
it. It's almost seen as a bit full on now. If
you're designing. But it's nouveau, isn't it? Yeah. It shows no kind of lack of understanding of how to put clothes together.
Yeah. Everyone's got something they buy in M&S.
Yeah.
Lingerie was the other one. I love the trend at the moment for, like, peekaboo bras. I mean, it doesn't obviously work for everyone if they have got big busts. But, yeah, I really like that. I think it's really sexy. Mm-hmm. But anyway. And that follows on quite nicely to talk about personal stylists, because we interviewed Victoria Genevieve, who is a personal stylist, who helps lots of mums, I guess, kind of post-children who want a bit of an overhaul of their wardrobe. And she basically goes, she saw a friend of mine, that's how I heard about her. So she goes through their wardrobe, works out what they can keep, what they can't. She's a real advocate for putting away your summer stuff, pulling things to the front, which is such a good point, because otherwise you just wear the same things all the time. So she's like, put away your summer, put away your winter, bring things back out. And
she's a big capsule wardrobe person, isn't she?
She is, and which surely I imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
they all are.
Should be. Yeah,
but she's got really good sort of tips about, you know, dressing for your body shape. You know, embracing your curves is actually more flattering than, you know, trying to hide them with big clothing. But I just thought it was an interesting point, like, having a personal stylist, and yeah, I mean, her approach is, so she'll do your wardrobe cleanse and then she takes you shopping and then she photographs you in all the pieces you've bought, but in loads of other ways. So I was having lunch with my friend and she got her phone out, and I mean, there were, I don't know how many, 100 looks or something. So there's the leather jacket worn with this, and then layered under the trench, and then with the scarf that she bought as well, and the pleated skirt, and there's something else. But it's really practical as well, because you then just go and you look at the Polaroid picture and
that's like
absolutely worth it. Whether you
twice a year, and you can email her and say, I like the look of this, what do you think? And I think it's, I get it.
It's such useful exercise.
The money for it, then
I was going to say, that's something, whether you want to do it through a personal stylist or not, I feel like that's something we could all benefit from, just having photos of your wardrobe.
So you don't go astray.
I would love to see a personal stylist. I just don't have the time. And it's not because I don't know what I like or what suits me. For me, it's a time thing.
Sourcing products.
I would love someone just to come along and say, here's your wardrobe for the next however long it's done. Because I feel this like we get to autumn winter
and
feel this real pressure to shop and update my wardrobe.
Yeah, and you have to make the decision, like, are you going to buy the Mango Zara or Topshop? Somebody else could just do that for you.
Yeah.
I really liked also in this piece, she gave us some really good advice about kind of how to dress for certain body types. So she talked about short people should kind of wear heels and a long trouser. I thought that was interesting. I'm short and I always have an ankle out. So maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should go long instead. Makes sense. She talks about if you're tall, wearing flat shoes. And that's a really good point, investing in pretty flats. She's saying that you can wear them, kind of dress up anything.
I know, flat shoes have never been better.
Yeah, some great flat shoes. Oh, those velvet ones we did recently. The velvet Mary Janes. So many nice ones.
Yeah, they're
And if you don't have any curves, you can add curves by layering and interesting shapes. Another good one.
Yeah,
I think that means add a belt. Very trinny, exactly. or big bust. Talks about well-fitting bras. I mean, that's not exactly
groundbreaking,
but great point.
And she's not a, you know, rock the fashion world stylist. But what I like about her is she just talks to normal women.
Yeah, and that's what so many of us need.
Want to look good and, you know, care about their wardrobes, but don't necessarily know where to start. Anyway, check her out, Victoria Genevieve. So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com, and do please subscribe, rate and review us on iTunes. It really does count, and your emails are lovely, but it'd be much better if you could do it on iTunes. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.